star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Yes, that means one thing. Highway patrol, highway patrol. It is another edition of Safety Talk this morning. Sergeant Jimmy Morgan coming in, sitting with us in studio today, live and in person. Talking about being safe on those roadways with the state of Texas, every kind of roadway, whether it be asphalt, concrete, gravel, caliche. I mean, is there a roadway you guys do not cover in Texas?
If it's county maintained, state maintained, we'll be on it.
Okay.
So we'll leave it up to the commissioners how they want to do it.
Okay. So, I mean, there's very few
roadways.
We don't do
private drives.
Okay. So there we go.
You know, as far as traffic.
Okay.
Criminal, we may pull up in the driveway.
Okay, see? There goes. Not many roadways that you guys aren't going to cover, right?
In the water. We've got our Marine Division down there.
Yeah.
Air, we've got aircraft.
Yeah.
We about got it covered.
Border to border, literally.
Yeah, we about got it. Hey, I drove up this morning. I looked up in the sky. We got buzzards flying around. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Something going on I don't know about or what?
You got me, man.
I need to call Rangers or something like that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Didn't tell you. Fairgrounds, I don't know.
Okay. By the way, I stopped in the Country Boys this morning like I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Got me one of them kolache.
Yeah.
Coffee.
There you go.
Yeah. Got a $10 gift certificate.
Okay.
For today's trivia.
Trivia question today.
And before I continue on, my son's birthday today down in Belleville.
Okay.
Big game this week. Belleville and Sealy.
Yeah. Sealy's homecoming.
Ooh, I didn't know that homecoming part.
Yeah.
They're going to be extra motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a good game. I'm going to try to go watch. Now, it's supposed to rain.
You got a chance of it this weekend. Yeah.
So,
got a
anyways,
chance.
Let's see here. Starting off today's program, I was approached by a gentleman there at Country Boys, and he kind of reminded me I probably needed to go over some of this. We were talking. By the way, he did say he even listened to us every now and then, so I was kind of struck by that. But anyway, he was asking about the electronic logbooks. And so they started that program out here. And in April 2018, and there's a couple things about that that, you know, everybody's trying to keep up with and how that works. So typically, if you're already doing logbooks and you're a commercial, what I call an interstate drive, in other words, of the product you're carrying, either you or the product you're carrying crosses a state or comes from another country, it's considered interstate. Now, on that being said, if it's you're an interstate driver, there's a couple of exemptions, and that's what I was going over with this morning. And if you're not required more than 8 times to log in a 30-day period, in other words, if you get stopped on the side of the highway and the CBE trooper's checking you out, he's going to count 30 days back to see. And if you're required to log more than 8 days, then you're going to be required to have an electronic logbook. If not, then a paper log would do just as good. Electronic logbook, manufacturer of your vehicle, the truck is less than 2,000, year model 2,000, not required. And so them are just a couple of things. Or if you get some kind of motor vehicle safety exemption other than them two, you're not required to have the logbook. Now, what they've done is put a grace period on what we call the intrastate driver, including your farmers. And it when he was visiting with me, I had another gentleman walk up that was listening to the conversation. And this gentleman here hauled cattle and stuff for a living. And sometimes they do cross state lines. And he was warned about the farmer exemption. There is some farmer exemptions in there. But vehicle combination is greater than 26 or 48. In farm and ranch, intrastate movements are exempt from LED until December 16th, not this year, 2019. So you still got another year on that if you fall in that exemption there. So it's voluntary there. And if you want to go out and get one, fine. But that That's one of the exemptions out there for the farmers and ranchers. So just thought I'd quick go over that and touch base kind of where we are on the LED logbook. So I think the bottom line I was telling gentlemen this morning about all this stuff, it's trying to keep that fatigue driver that's carrying most times 80,000 pounds down the roadway. You know, we want to make sure we have people that's well rested behind these commercial vehicles and stuff. So it's a better way of tracking the time of that driver. So I think that's pretty much the point of having these type of logbooks. And I think a lot of the bigger companies that have the crossroad type drivers that work for them, they've been doing this for a while now, so it's no big deal to them. Let's see here. Quickly, Craig, I was kind of interested in Washington County. I got with a sergeant last week because as I continue to try to keep up with the fatality count here in the state, which we are at 2,458 as today, posted by TxDOT. We're somewhere averaging still around the 285 a month and 9.3 a day. And we had not had a deathless day on our state highways since November 7th, year 2000. I wanted to check a little bit of where we were in Washington and Grimes County. So in looking at that, Washington County, not too bad. We've had two fatality accidents and two deaths. But our border county over here, that which is in the Sargent area here out of Washington County, they've had eight fatality accident with 13 deaths. So Grimes County, for whatever reason, the last couple of years has been kind of the, you would think Brazos County, but and I say that, I mean, we don't work all the fatalities in Brazos County. These are accidents that our troopers have worked, so that I'm talking about here. So I have no idea about College Station, Bryan PD, when it comes to Brazos County, but these are accidents that our troopers work. But for the last couple of years, as far as the accidents that we've worked, at Grimes County, for people ask me this question, I don't really have the answer. You know, we had a one vehicle, three fatality accident not too long ago where, and I've still hadn't heard, sometimes we have to wait for certain tests to come back and whatever to get answers or try to determine, well, no, that's not a factor. So I have not heard any kind of reports back from that. But where a person went off the road and struck an embankment, and now we have three deaths. So I don't know how that happens sometimes, but it does happen. You know, sometimes some of these we've talked about in the past where a lot of our fatality accidents, more than half of them happen in rural areas. Well, we all know our rural areas, sometimes our roadways are not as wide, and we take corners, especially when they're wet, we take them a little too fast. We lose traction with the roadway, and we overcorrect, and we find ourselves in a major accident. So that's just some of the things that I see on that. So let's go with a trivia question here. So I can get some phones ringing. I'm getting tired of listening to myself talk this morning. I prefer, if everybody didn't know this, I prefer the questions. I can hear myself talk any other part of the day. So let's go with this. How long, if you're going down the roadway and your vehicle is smoking, maybe you got a leak or something, how long does it have to smoke before it comes a violation of law? What's the time frame on that?
All right.
So for a $10 Country Boy certificate, if you can answer that trivia question, then...
That's in the books, right?
Somewhere in the books.
Okay, all right. You know the answer, 836-9937, 836-9937. Get your trivia question answered today. And, of course, ask your questions as well of studio or email here, mail, M-A-I-L at K-W-H-I.com. Dr. Sergeant Morgan here on AM 1280, FM 101.7.
Yep. So as we approach, it looks like another couple of days of where we have a good chance of rain. Just kind of reminder that if, you know, the highways are flooded, whatever it may be, and barricades are up, we just ask people not to go around the barricades. That's a Class B misdemeanor. To keep up with some of this stuff, especially when it comes to highways and stuff that TxDOT maintains, which they maintain somewhere around 80,000 miles of roadway. So they're a pretty big organization, keep up a lot of roadways. You know, that drivetexas.org is a great way of keeping up with not only flooding, but traffic crashes and construction. You can go on their map, and if you have just a little bit of time before you take off, and take a look at that, and that may give you some clues. I was listening to Houston this morning, and, you know, they have that. Do y'all have a helicopter?
We do not have
you
a
don't.
Helicopter.
So no, if we wanted to get up in the air to do, like, a traffic report, you know, well, stay off of the 36 because you can't do that.
No.
Okay. So anyway.
We're not all fancy like that.
Okay. So I was listening this morning, right? And they were going through, like, a list of roads. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, they got an accident here, stranded motor or whatever, and delays 40, 50 minutes. You know, that's a major delay, 40, mm-hmm. 50 minutes, yeah. right? It got to the point where you can take this alternate route and route, you can take it. It's almost got to the point, well, no, it's one of them days I just need to turn around and go home.
Yeah,
right. that's what it sounded like to me. Just turn around and go home. You ain't going to make it to work.
Yeah, I don't think people deal with that every day.
So anyway, I'm glad. I mean, Washington County has some traffic comes mm-hmm. through it, but it don't, you know, you're not Houston.
No.
Right? Okay, so.
At least I hope not yet.
Huh? right. So anyway, let's see. I want to talk a little bit as we move into your favorite time of year, hunting season.
There you go.
And stuff. Obviously, I got this question the other day. The animals are going to be moving around, especially as it starts cooling off. Mm-hmm. We've had some rain and stuff like that. So you're starting to see, even on the side of the roadway, where a lot of deer now are starting to get hit. I mean, they're moving early this year. And just a reminder of that, that especially at nighttime, be using your high beams when you can. Don't blind anybody if you're approaching. You're required to dim your headlights within 500 feet of an approaching vehicle or 300 feet if you're following somebody. But it's good to use your high beams and stuff like that. They asked me about these little whistle things, these silent whistles a lot of people put on their front. I don't know if they work or not. I asked a game warden. He didn't know. He's heard it from different ways. So I don't know if you can just toss a coin on that one. But, again, if you do strike a deer, you know, can you keep the deer? No, you got to have a game warden to give you that permission. If they give you permission, they're going to give you some kind of slip of paper. I had a game warden tell me one time that he was a little bit reluctant of doing that because they didn't know the condition of the deer prior to even getting struck. So health-wise of the deer, they sometimes don't allow people to keep them. But just a reminder, here's a couple of things that you need to tell yourself. Do I need to report the accident? If you have a reportable accident that we work, typically we say $1,000 or more damage. Now, you know this day and time, it don't take a lot to get there, right?
It does not.
Okay. So can the vehicle be safely driven off? If no, call. If you have somebody that's injured or fatality or whatever, absolutely, and you need to stay, and you're going to be required to give certain information. Don't leave the scene and come back later, whatever. That's not going to work. You got really some explaining to do if you do that, because there's such thing as fail to stop and render aid. And so if anybody's injured or whatever, do what you can to help out in that situation. Call a 911, try to get your first responders on scene as quick as you can. And certainly if you strike somebody and damage somebody else's property, went through their fence or whatever it may be, you need to report these kind of things and not drive off and not create another hole. Don't go through one hole and then come back out. And that happens sometimes. But anyway, these are a couple of things. And a lot of striking like fixtures, especially highway fixture and stuff like that, if that fixture is more than $2,000, you drive away, that's a Class B misdemeanor. So you need to kind of stay there and comply and give the information and let your insurance get involved and getting all the reporting parties involved in that investigation that we're going to get called to. So just a couple things if you were kind of wondering whether or not if you needed to call an accident in or not. Got any breaks?
We can take one right now.
Let's take one right now. Usually helps get some callers in.
Yeah. Let's do the trivia question one more time for people to hear it again.
There's if you're going out a roadway and your vehicle's smoking, at what point does law enforcement have to use to, when that comes a violation, how long will the vehicle have to be smoking before it comes a violation to get stopped for, I guess the best way you can put it.
All right. Know the answer, 979-8369. 937-836-9937 today for the trivia question here on Safety Talk. Back here in just a moment.
Celebrate your European ancestry at the 30th Annual Wendy's Fest in Sherman, Texas on Sunday, September 23rd at the Texas Wendy's Heritage Museum and St. Paul Lutheran Church Picnic Grounds. Participate in all kinds of activities, including washer pitching and live auction, or bring your best coffee cake to enter in their coffee cake baking contest. Children's activities include stick horse races and coloring contests. A Wendy's noon meal of sausage and sauerkraut, green beans, and Wendy's noodles will be served at 1:30. Plus, there will be live music all day featuring the Moravians Polka Band. Come enjoy the food, demonstrations of folk ways like spinning and weaving, Wendy's Easter egg decorating, noodle making, sausage stuffing, sauerkraut making, blacksmithing, crosscut sawing, and the Klatterfasten, freeze pole climbing. That's the Wendy's Fest on Sunday, September 23rd at St. Paul Lutheran Church Picnic Grounds and the Wendy's Museum in Sherman. St. Paul's Lutheran Church is one of the painted churches of Texas. Tours will be given after services on Sunday. Find out more at texaswendish.org.
There are really two ways to buy insurance, from someone who represents only one company or from an agency like Wellman Insurance Agency, where we represent several insurance companies and serve you first. Personalized insurance, specifically designed to fit your insurance needs. At Wellman Insurance Agency, we'll start with a solid basic policy with one of the many companies we represent and build the protection you need for your home, no more, no less. It's one-stop convenience for your auto, home, and business. Call Wellman Insurance Agency today at 836-3613.
McCoy's Building Supply is a proud sponsor of the Washington County Fair. McCoy stocks a wide range of farm and ranch products, from buckets to squeeze chutes to round pens. Plus, they have the capability of ordering anything you need, small or large. So for this fair season, stop in at McCoy's Building Supply in Brenham, and they'll help you rodeo. From a simple faucet replacement to building a farm from the ground up, visit McCoy's Building Supply on Highway 290 East in Brenham, or visit them online at McCoy's.com.
Need a water well to supply water to your livestock, lawn, and garden, or new home? JB Water Wells is just a call away at 979-830-0625. For an existing water well system, JB Water Wells can perform a complete system check to ensure it's working properly. JB Water Wells offers free estimates for well drilling, water testing, pump services and repairs, water conditioning, and filter systems. Call 979-830-0625 today to schedule your job. Visit them online at jbwaterwellservice.com. JB Water Wells, hope you enjoy the Washington County Fair.
Gourmet pizzas, paninis, and gyros.
Yeah.
Wings, wraps, and soups.
Yeah.
Homemade fudge, specialty cupcakes, and a candy shop.
Yeah.
Bluebell ice cream, and a coffee bar with Independence Coffee Nitro Brew on tap.
Yeah.
Yes, Yum is where you'll find all of that and much more. Yum Sweets and Eats on the Square in downtown Brenham is ready to satisfy your craving. Whether it's a quick lunch, a fun dinner with family and friends, or a sugar fix. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 till 9.
J&J Packing Company in Brookshire is a USDA federally inspected wholesale and retail meat distributor specializing in pork products, fresh or frozen. Need a roasting pig or custom processing? Call J&J Packing at 281-375-6060 or place an order for your next barbecue or party. J&J Packing is a proud sponsor of the Washington County area sporting events. J&J Packing on West Highway 90 in Brookshire, Texas.
Side Fair Tires, now in Brenham at 3201 Highway 36 South. Side Fair Tires specializes in quality name brand tires for your car, light truck, tractor, and commercial vehicles. Need new tires but don't have the cash? Side Fair now is offering 90 days, same as cash financing. They can finance any tire purchase, whether for your car, tractor, or commercial vehicle. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3, and only takes a few minutes. When you need tires, choose Side Fair Tire, just past Walmart on 36 South in Brenham.
Welcome back once again to Safety Talk on KWHI. Craig Montana being joined by Sergeant Morgan from the DPS in studio today, talking to you about whatever you want to talk about. Of course, you can call him and talk to him in person, ask him your questions here in studio, 979-836-9937, 836-9937. I do check our emails periodically to see if you might send an email question in, because those are can be answered as well. And today, we're still looking for a winner of our trivia contest today. And our question again is, If your vehicle starts smoking on the roadway, how long can it smoke on the roadway before law enforcement...
Before it comes a violation.
Yeah. Yeah, before you guys step in and go, wait a minute.
Yeah. Because, you know, some of them big trucks, diesel-type mm-hmm. trucks, you know, they kind of put out yeah. a little puff every now and
yeah.
then.
Now, we're talking smoke. I mean, this is a consistent smoke yes. from yeah. anywhere in the vehicle.
It looks like the guy that's spraying for mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
Okay, you're talking about from the exhaust we're talking
well,
about.
Well, yeah, or engine. Could be a leak.
Engine leak. Yeah. Okay. Anything. Any smoke coming out of your vehicle yeah. for an extended period of time. It's, how long
yeah.
before you yeah. get in trouble it's, for it?
You know, the people behind you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that, oh, yeah. I want to.
There's some. Let's see. Let me ask you this question. Uh-oh. I want to read something to you.
Hold on. We do got a phone call coming in today. Right. Try this. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
It wouldn't be 10 seconds, would it?
Yes, ma'am. It would be.
10 seconds. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You don't have a limit for the number of times I can call, do you?
No, but Craig said, man, your question may be a little rough, hard this morning. I'm thinking,
it was hard.
Okay, well, good. I don't want to just give it away, do
I? Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't think so, but they put in the work today.
Yeah, so in five.
That was a hard one.
Yeah, it's going to be covered under Section 547, 605 in the right. Texas Transportation Code. Where you're going to find that information. So, anyway, it's more than 10 seconds. So, if you have one of them leaks or whatever it may be, can you get stopped? Absolutely. So, make sure. They used to say miticize it, whatever. I don't know. But, in other words, we don't like all that exhaust and all that stuff. So, yeah, mm-hmm. we need to have that cleaned up. You're going to take her information?
Yeah, just I'm put you on hold and hang on, and we'll get you in a minute, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks
for your call. So I'm going to read something here real quick. And it says here, isn't slower always safer? Because you hear that a lot where, and the reason I'm bringing this up, I've been noticing something several years ago when we switched from 55 miles an hour to 70 mile traffic. And then some of our roadways a couple of sessions ago where the TxDOT went around and relooked at some of these roadways, and they even raised the speed limit up to 75. And then we got 85 on our toll roads, some of our toll roads, which I think is the highest speed that in North America is 85 right now posted. But I've been noticing a trend, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. The trend, and I saw a little bit this morning coming in, is that it looks like a lot of the fleets out there with when we're talking about commercial truck drivers and stuff. And I noticed a lot of these trucks are going anywhere between 60 and 65 miles an hour. And I was told one time that fuel consumption wise, that the 65 miles an hour was a good speed for its fuel consumption, and that it also kind of just, kept them right at the speed limit, whatever. But been seeing a lot more trucks and stuff going down the roadway at a reduced speed. And I remember at the time that when the speed limit was 55 and everybody went to 70, that the truck drivers and stuff was not too pleased with that because they were having to drive 15 miles slower mm-hmm. than the rest of the folks out there on the highway. So that's understandable. And what we found out about that when we had that speed difference is that it was causing a backup effect because we had truck drivers on a different speed, and we had people passing no passing zones, passing on the right, passing when they weren't safe because they were getting frustrated because the truckers weren't moving over one reason or another. And so we moved everybody up to 70 miles an hour. But since we've done the 70, now we're going, we got a situation where I see a lot of these trucks going between 60 and 65 miles an hour. So it, it says here, according to research, those driving 10 miles slower than the prevailing speed or more likely to be involved in an accident. That means if your average speed is 70 miles an hour, the person traveling at 60 miles per hour is no more likely to be involved in an accident than someone doing 70 or 80. So what it does do, where I think there it needs to be looked at, I guess my question is, at what point does most people think, hey, look, the maximum speed is 70 miles an hour. At what point, do you, if you're a person following a vehicle, is too slow where you're saying, hey, look, you're tying up traffic here. So, you know, and that's what happens on some of it. So that's one of the things people ask about. Do y'all have some type of law about, we talk about this, about impeding traffic? So if you go to 545-363, so the operator may not drive so slowly as to impede the normal and reasonable movement of traffic, except when the reduced speed is necessary for safe operation or compliance with the law. So what that means is, in other words, it's 70 miles an hour. That's under perfect ideal conditions. Now we got rain or we got ice on the roadway or what it may be, then, yes, it would be normally for that person to reduce the speed to prevent being involved in an accident. But so, yes, we do look at this from time to time when we have vehicles, and it don't have to just be a truck driver. We've got other vehicles. A lot of people sometimes pull in their recreational vehicles and stuff. We have a lot of that comes through Texas. But, you know, certainly the law allows you to use the improved shoulder. Some that's in the book, and sometimes people don't take advantage of that. A lot of people visiting from the state don't realize they even have that where they can do that, because sometimes where the state that they come from doesn't allow the use of the improved shoulder to allow faster traffic to go by. But anyway, I just kind of learned. So I always tell people, look, the sign says 70, do as unless weather is permitting or the roadway conditions change, try to be within that 65, 70 mile an hour best you can. And if you're not going to be able to do that for whatever, you may want to consider using an improved shoulder if you're able to do so without being involved in the wreck, depending what you're pulling and whatever, what you feel comfortable with. But just remind yourself, when you look back there and you're backing up about five or six cars, that may be a clue whether or not you may want to take that advantage. So I just wanted to pass that on. As far as use of the improved shoulder and the violation of impeding traffic. And that's you know, when we raise some of the speed limits to 75, that one of the things that TxDOT did on that, that's when you start seeing these signs show up that say left lane passing only. They wanted you to stay in that right-hand lane. And a lot of, like I say, a lot of them signs were posted on the 75-mile roadway. So anyway, they just want to make sure that one lane stays open. And that inside lane is typically called, you know, is the faster lane. You know, most times when you're at Clavin Hill, you'll see a sign that says slower traffic, use right lane. So your emergency vehicles or whatever are typically going to want to stay in the inside lane. I always tell people the safest lane to be in anyway is that right lane, where you at least got an improved shoulder in case somebody crosses the roadway. You can take evasive action and moving off the roadway or going to the shoulder to prevent that head-on collision, which we've had several of them in the state this year, including in my my district. Let's see here. Now, Craig, I got this question from another radio show of mine, and okay. I didn't realize we had kind of covered this. So in the news this week, I noticed they're talking about electric cars and stuff, and they've been playing the Jetsons, that song, and the dog named Astro.
Yeah. Well,
okay, that thing. So I had got a call. You know, we've got technology-wise, we've got some safety features going on with camera system and radar type systems and stuff, where it measured distance and stuff like that. We got automatic braking. Your seat vibrates if you're going off the road. So a lot of these safety technology is really assisting and helping the driver if they're fixing to make a mistake to kind of alert them. But, you know, then we have where they're pushing these driverless cars or where you don't even drive the car. Now, I don't know what you're supposed to be doing if you have one of these cars when it's all said and done. I don't know how that works. It's for a guy like me, it still seems kind of strange. So
yeah, I mean, why have a car if you're not going to drive it?
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm getting at. You get stopped. The officer, sir, back there or whatever. No, sir, that wasn't me. Well, is anybody else in the car? No, but I wasn't driving.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, so what do you do? What do you do as an officer on that deal?
I don't know. Can I pull that one whenever, you know, in my regular truck?
So if you're out and about, and next time you get stopped, just tell the officer that and say, let's say, so I'm sitting there, are we going? Now, these systems have been shown that can be hacked also. But I did find something in the transportation code that may help us answer the question just a little bit. I'm not fully bought into it. It's here, it says here in 545-453, operator of an automatic motor vehicle, when an automatic driving system installed on your car is engaged, the owner of the automated driving system is considered the operator of the motor vehicle.
Okay.
So what does that mean? Well, who's that guy?
Who?
How do you write the ticket? Who do you write the ticket?
According to that, it's whoever name is on the title, right?
I mean, well, who? How do I know who? I mean, okay. Mm. You're sitting in the car. I don't own it. I didn't put the system in. This other guy has the system. Mm-hmm. I'm just in the car. I just borrowed the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so it also goes on to say, we're talking about it now, but, hey, by the way, I looked the other day. We've been doing this show, I think, since August of 2012. We just celebrated our 6-year anniversary. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
No, I did not.
So,
we've been doing that long, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So they've been listening to us for about 6 years now. So anyway, they're probably falling asleep right now on this one. But anyway, it says the automatic driving system is considered to be a licensed operator of the vehicle. So these are some of the problems that law enforcement, as this thing continues to, we see these type of cars.
Well, it'll start
there's going to be, and there's going to be, what's going to happen as it goes on, as normal, there'll be some case law. There'll be some things where things will happen. And courts are going to have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Right? And we'll use the cases and the whatever they hand down as what we as guidelines to what do we do as law mm-hmm. enforcement on these type of vehicles. So I certainly don't have all the answers to it, but that's just some of the problems that we're faced with. Quick reminder, if you do drive a motorcycle, you have to be the age of 21. If not, you have to wear a helmet. Also, the child, if you want to carry a young child on your motorcycle, that child needs to be at least 5 years of age, and that there has to be footrest and handle grips on the motorcycle for that passenger. Whether or not he can use them or not, that would be interesting.
They have to have their own set, or there's just has to be a set on the motorcycle?
It has to be his set. It can't be yours. It has to be a set back there for the passenger.
Hand
grips, we call them.
Hand grips.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
So, sometimes people forget that. That was some stuff that was put in there not too many sessions ago, but... some new stuff. We worked an accident on a motorcycle the other day, and I'll talk about it just a little bit. Yesterday, we had, through our region here, we had the move-over law and mm-hmm. enforcement going on. And so far, the last look, I just pulled up June, we're over 26,000 motors that had been stopped for this violation. So just a kind of quick reminder as we go through the year, that our law enforcement at periodic times will be what we have enhancement days where, you know, it's kind of like during the holidays where we look for certain violations and stuff, whether it be drunk driving or people not wearing the seat belts and all that good stuff. Yesterday was one where we're just looking for people not moving over and slowing down. In that conversation, I did get this question the other day, and I covered it once before, but it's worth at least going back over. So you're going down a 2-lane roadway, and for whatever reason, you're approaching an emergency vehicle, has somebody stop. The 2-lane roadway is a passing roadway. Matter of fact, you can see for a mile. Mm-hmm. There's nobody coming. So you're approaching, and then you, and this is what a lot of people had been doing, and this question came up the other day. What if you cross that yellow center stripe because it's a passing? Can you do that, number one? Number two, people were crossing, and can you do and cross, and while crossing that center stripe, were you exempt from slowing down since it's a passing zone and nobody's coming? Are you still required to slow? Mm-hmm. So the answer to that question is that the only reason that you can cross a passing center stripe is the act of passing, and that's a vehicle moving in the same direction that you are. Mm. So if you're not moving, if we're not moving, the person I got stops not moving, then that you're not really passing. So the violation would be wrong side of the road, not passing. So you can't do that. You have to stay on your side of the roadway. We certainly don't want people getting a practice of crossing that center stripe. We don't want to have a head-on collision because of a vehicle that you didn't see or whatever. At that point, you're still required to stay in your lane. Now, you can move over towards the center stripe if you want to. You want to give the officers a little room. Most of these lanes are pretty wide, 12 foot at least in width, and that you can move over a little bit, but you're still required to slow down. And so don't be doing that. That is a way to get stopped. So sometimes that does happen.
There you go. Take another break here real fast.
Sure.
We'll do that. We'll come back and kind of give some more thoughts. Safe to talk today. If you have questions for them, send them into, or you can call them in, 979-836-9937 in studio, or email us here, mail@kwhi.com. I'll check that as well. But right now, we're back with more Safe to Talk after this on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7.
Your operation, the right equipment, big savings, and WC Tractor in Brenham. They're the perfect match. Buy now and you can get 0% financing, cash back, and more on the complete line of New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Stop by WC Tractor in Brenham soon for details because the perfect match sale event ends September 30th. For commercial use only, customer participation subject to credit qualification and CNH Industrial Capital America LLC approval. Standard terms, conditions, and other restrictions apply. Down payment may be required.
In communities across the country, including Brenham and the surrounding areas, Thrivent Financial and its members are making a difference in people's lives. Thrivent is proud to have the opportunity to support this community and help those who live and work here and make the most of their time, treasures, and talent. We wish the youth of Washington County Fair the best of luck. In Brenham, contact your Thrivent Financial Brenham Area Associates at 979-836-0693.
The oldest county fair in the state of Texas, the 150th Washington County Fair, is going on now through Saturday, September 22nd, with lots of great musical entertainment. Tonight features Josh Ward. There are plenty of exhibits, activities, a carnival, and the Budweiser Clydesdales at the fair. Today features Senior Citizens Day, a children's petting zoo, the Junior Livestock Auction, and rodeo, including Wild Steer Saddling Contest. And don't miss all the great musical entertainment from Josh Ward and Kyle Park tonight.
I'm leaving Stephenville. I'm packed up and I'm ready, checking out of my hotel.
There's even more entertainment coming on Friday with Children's Day, the commercial steer sale, and music from Sonny Sweeney and Trace Atkins, plus more rodeo excitement. Enjoy it all at the 150th Washington County Fair. For more details, go online to WashingtonCOFair.com or call the fair office at 979-836-4112.
For quality water well pump repairs, call Bilski Water Well Service at 830-1298. They can get your water flowing again. Bilski works on all brands of water well pumps and tanks. Plus, they also can improve its taste and use by installing an iron filter or water softener. Bilski's Water Well Service also offers trenching service. Get the best water out of your water well. Call Bilski's Water Well Service at 830-1298. No job is too small. Bilski Water Well Service wishes good luck to all the Washington County Fair participants.
Harvey's Water Wells, family owned and operated since 1978, and serving Washington County and the surrounding counties for water well drilling, pump installation, repairs, and complete water treatment. For reliable and quality service, call 979-836-2682 or go online to harveyswaterwell.com. Harvey's Water Wells would like to congratulate all the Washington County Fair participants on a job well done.
RE/MAX Advantage Associates are the hometown experts with a world of experience. Across the globe, they make their living in the same communities in which they live. They're the people next door or just down the block. RE/MAX Associates lead the industry in advanced real estate education and production. That's why they're known as the real estate leaders. And the proof of quality service is in the many repeat customers and customer referrals they receive. Find out more online at AdvantageBrenham.com. RE/MAX Advantage, worldwide name, hometown service.
Brenham Country Club is a family-oriented social and recreational organization providing the highest quality services and facilities. A beautiful 18-hole golf course with a 300-yard driving range, a pro shop, large swimming pool with pool house. Their large clubhouse features a full bar and Wi-Fi internet and is available for party rentals. The Brenham Country Club, 3 miles east of Brenham on Highway 105. For more information about memberships, call 836-1733. They have a membership level that's perfect for your family.
Welcome back once again to Safety Talk on KWHI this morning, AM 1280, FM 101.7. I want to say a while ago, we didn't mention it, Joanne Drain, by the way. Joanne Drain was our winner of...
Now, she listens quite often.
She does. She's a faithful listener.
Yeah, okay. And matter of fact, it pays to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Ask her.
Yeah, she's doing fairly well.
Well, she'd be first name basis by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Once she goes down there. Yeah, that's me again. Okay. Hey, before I get started here, just a quick reminder. Sometimes I do get these calls about, especially grandparents stuff, about safety seats and all that good stuff. If you're going to be around the Bryan area next Saturday on the 29th, 8:30 to 11 o'clock a.m., they're having a checkup event. The Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Passenger Safety Group will be out there. They'll have this checkup event. If you got your kid with you and your child's safety seat and you want to get it inspected to see if you're doing everything right, have it installed right, make sure that there's the seat that you have is the right seat for the kid, and you want to double check all that good stuff, you happen to be in Bryan next week at the Target over there off of 6. Let's see here if I can get a better description of that. It's the new Target right over there. I'm trying to think of that side road. But anyway, it's right off of 6 there. Next to the Dollar Tree, Bryan Target Center. So 312 Wildflower Drive, Bryan, Texas. So go by and pay them a visit and tell them I sent you over there to get your child's seat checked out. So that would be coming up next Saturday. Got a phone call?
Yes, we do have a phone call coming in. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. Have a question?
Good morning. Brett, he's addressing the people driving in the left lane and not passing. Just to let him know, I saw a car the other day had a big sign on the back that said left lane for passing only. I was wishing I could get one. But my question is...
You saw a car with that on there?
Yes, sir. Well, when it crossed the back, big ladder. I was in the right-hand lane. There was a guy in the left-hand lane that I just pulled in the right-hand lane to go around. So I got moved. Well, I didn't have to move back, but he passed me, and I saw this big sign on the back that's left lane for passing only. I thought that was pretty good. I wish I could find me one, because people get in that lane, they think it's their lane, and they just stay there. But anyway,
I call them campers.
What?
Campers. They just camp in the
campers?
Lane. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Campers. Yeah.
Yeah, they just camp in the lane.
I'll be driving along. He's like, this is my lane and I'm not moving. My question is, you're on the Florida Market Road and, you're going to make a left-hand turn and you see people come flying up behind you and stuff. Is it illegal to move into the left-hand lane prior to making your turn before you take your turn, I guess is my question, make your turn?
I've seen that done. Yes, it is a violation of law. Can't do that. It's just like moving into the left turn lane. It has to be in the approximate area where the turn's going to be. So, if you're worried about traffic coming up behind you and maybe getting, maybe you got an approaching vehicle and you got to come to a stop, wait on that approaching vehicle to go by, but you're worried about the traffic behind you, if you have an option, especially if it's on a two-lane roadway with a shoulder, I used to hit the shoulder and let that traffic go by and then move back over. And then when I come up to my stop, then I can sit there and focus at the traffic coming at me. But for you to cross over that center stripe, like, and I've seen people do it within like 1,000 feet or whatever, that's actually a violation of law. You're not supposed to be doing that.
Okay, so then you're telling me also on a left highway with a left turn lane, you shouldn't cross the yellow stripe to get in the left turn lane?
You cannot, yeah, what I'm saying, you cannot enter into the left turn lane until you're in an approximate area where the left turn is going to be. In other words, it's not a passing lane. You'll see people get in that and then go all the way down and passing vehicles up and all that stuff. The left turn lane is meant. Matter of fact, on some of the, if you look at some of the markings as you approach an intersection, say a traffic light, you'll see that little opening that they have where they want you to funnel in there. Now, if that's filled up, law enforcement's going to let you fill behind that car. But typically, okay, they want you to go. Typically, they want you to go down to where the approximate turn, the entrance of that lane is going to be. But as far as you using that, a left turn lane is not supposed to be used as a merging lane or a passing lane. It's supposed to be met as just for what it's intended for, is to make a left turn in the approximate area where you're fixing to make that left.
Okay. Well, my next question was, because if there's, I've been looking here lately, the opening to get in the lane is probably enough room for maybe 3 cars, possibly 2.
Right.
You know, so, you know, my thought is, well, if it's illegal to get in there, we had this argument the other day. But anyway, so if it's blocked up.
Well, if it's blocked up, then, yeah, we got to use some common sense on that. If the lane is, traffic's backed up within that lane at where you want to take your left, then, yeah, I think law enforcement's going to let you enter at that point. But at least it doesn't look like you're using a left turn lane for a passing lane.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Well, thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you for the call. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, I hear the music.
Yep. Coming to a close. We got about a minute left.
Well, I don't know. I know school's going on. We got a lot of football games going on. You know, it's a good time of year. Starting to cool down a little bit. Got some weather coming in. So, let's make sure that we slow down, plan out our whatever we're doing, and take some time getting there. And don't be impatient. Good following distance always helps. Wear your seat belts. And if you're one of the drivers hadn't had a little lot of sleep, you know, Craig here, he's been wore out, whatever. You may want to let somebody else drive that vehicle.
Yeah.
Certainly these late-night ball games, people trying to make it back. We certainly don't want to have anybody involved in an accident. So, again, thanks for having me on, and we'll catch up with y'all in another couple of weeks. And until then, drive safe.
That's it. Sergeant Morton, thanks for coming and talking with us today.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So right here on KWHI AM K269 GU FM in Brenham.